Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the latest episode of the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Justin Cash, your editor and your host for today's episode. If you've just joined us on this podcast, where have you been? Ever since the latest lockdown, we have been running every single weekend a brand new essay for you to get into. A lot of you have come back with some great feedback, said how much you enjoy having a long read to relax to on the weekend, so we're really glad we're doing the job. This week, we handed over weekend essay duties to our senior pensions reporter, Michael Climes. He's going to take you inside the mind of a scammer. Enjoy.
I justified my behaviour, saying the bank owes me this, the convicted fraudster says. There wasn't really any guilt. Paul Buck was a successful advisor who worked in Santander's bank assurance division. He eventually became a regional manager. But over a 10-year period, Buck gambled £4.8 million across 93 separate betting accounts. He lost £1.3 million and was jailed for stealing £434,000 from the bank, all due to a gambling addiction he developed. Today, Buck is chief executive of consultancy Epic Risk Management, a business that aims to help organisations prevent gambling-related harm. His story helps take us inside the mind of a scammer, how they trick themselves into thinking they are right, and how they can sound so authentic when they try and rip off their latest targets, advice firms. There is a storied history of fraudsters operating under the cover of dependable wealth management brands to convince clients to hand over cash. There are several techniques they can use, from phishing, sending fake messages requiring financial information, to wholesale payment fraud, where criminals send payment instructions to banks, and spoofing, where criminals manipulate email accounts to impersonate genuine payees. Multiple warnings from the FCA show how the most brazen scammers copy entire firms' details. Money Marketing has reported on many of these examples over the years, with criminals attempting to exploit trusted brands such as Vanguard, Royal London, and Rothschild. Figures compiled by UK Finance show how investment fraud reports surged by 32% last year, with losses to these scams increasing 42% to £135 million. Impersonation scams proved a particularly popular tactic for fraudsters during the pandemic, as cases doubled to nearly 40,000 over 2020. All this means advice firm directors must be on their guard. They might get an unexpected communication from someone who appears to be a client asking them to transfer funds. Having obtained the advisor's details online, Money Marketing has been told of several instances where scammers then try to get hold of client money. In these situations, it is only quick thinking that prevents the scam from being successful. Advice firms should have strong defences against these sophisticated attacks, but this is easier said than done. Being a step ahead of scammers requires robust technology and culture. Financial Technology Research Centre Director Ian McKenna has long championed technological solutions to solve security issues. In a recent column, he argued that the client portals cannot always be used for secure communications. There are just some situations where email has to be used. This creates a potential risk and opportunity for criminals to obtain sensitive information. McKenna suggests email encryption is one answer. Yet the challenge is what system to use. He points out that if every provider chooses a different system, that may force advisors to acquire licenses for a baffling array of software. What is worse is that he sees growing evidence this is happening, with adverse consequences for IFAs. According to McKenna, many providers will only accept their chosen encryption system and build processes around their needs. Fortunately, there is an alternative, as a small number of insurers are embracing the Unipass Mailock service. Eventually, providers may be able to select a single solution that can then confidently be adopted by advisors. So far, only Aegon and Royal London are live with the service. But McKenna understands a further 6 organisations, all significant players, are at various stages of testing. Having a single industry solution would bring vast benefits for advisors and their clients, as well as the providers themselves, he writes. While email is the weakest link in the communication chain, client portals must not be overlooked either. One way to strengthen them is to have instructions checked twice so any scammers up to no good are spotted. Cyber attacks have spanned the remit from high street advisors to family offices. An email sent by criminals pretending to be a real art dealer nearly cost a British art collector £6 million, according to recent reports. It was only by phoning the real dealer to check the transaction that the plot was foiled. Here, the presence of human beings was a strength, but at other times it can be a weakness. This is especially true when the culture of the firm is not strong. Here, the insights of behavioural psychology can help. Julian Danabitia is a former lawyer who is now an Association for Professional Executive Coaching and Supervision accredited coach. He is also a co-founder of Know Thyself Academy with financial planner Tina Weeks. Danabitia is convinced that one aspect advice firms must consider in their fight against scams is culture. This is something far more subtle and nuanced than what antivirus software or encryption system you use. Much of it stems from emotion and the way people feel about their work in an organisation. He applies the famous quotation from management consultant Peter Drucker, who remarked, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast," to financial services. If an advice firm wants to deal with scams, then it really must look at culture, and the culture is what people feel when they are there, he says. It is really interesting to notice that when people fail in financial services or they behave badly, it is because they did not have anyone to talk to. One thing that can really help organisations to change culture is to build the sorts of relationships that allow people to be open and talk honestly. This is what I found in my experience. The famous Stanford Prison Experiment from the early 1970s is a case study in the importance of culture, according to Danabitia. Student volunteers were given the role of either guard or a prisoner to see how their behaviour was shaped by these designations. The central conclusion from the experiment was the environment drove behaviour rather than any inherent personality traits. The guard lived up to the aggressive, controlling nature of the role, regardless of their previous behaviours. It also highlighted the link between certain types of emotions generating certain behaviours. Emotion is what drives human behaviour, in my opinion, Danabitia says. Why do we have fear, anger and shame? No one made good decisions when these emotions are present. If you, as an advisor, have a feeling that an organisation drives you towards making decisions you would otherwise not make, it is easier for scammers to come through the front door. What we do is change people's relationship with their own emotions, and that can be extraordinarily powerful. Scammers being driven by their own powerful emotions is not unheard of. 3 years ago, Money Marketing reported on an investment opportunity claiming to give a guaranteed 40% return. We asked the firm to comment on how such impressive returns were generated and how these could be guaranteed, but did not receive a response. A few days later, when our story was published, we received an irate phone call from the 20-year-old director behind the company. He was absolutely dismayed that advisors had expressed critical comments against him and his scheme and wanted to know who he could complain to. He was shocked, he said, because he genuinely believed he could offer opportunities that would reliably generate those returns. We were struck by the sincerity of his approach. He may well have marshalled formidable acting skills, but he seemed to truly believe that he wasn't out to exploit anyone or to mislead them in any way. This virtuous self-perception of scammers is not as rare as you might think. Across trading, broking, advice and the rest of financial services, a particular cultural issue has arisen over job performance. Financial advice is a very competitive industry, Buck says. This meritocracy, as they call it, is all about league tables. When I was an advisor, the whole environment in the bank was about life assurance targets and pension targets. Then at a regional level, I had even bigger targets. The problem is you have wins, which keep you going, and you lose perspective. Buck ended up attempting to take his own life in December 2008. Hearing the psychological mechanics of people who take risks from former gamblers spills over into the wider mind of the scammer. There is a story an individual has bought into to justify their own extreme behaviour. It is important for advice firms to understand the psychological profiles of these people to spot them before it is too late. This resonates with Clark Wilmot partner Philippa Han, who has encountered poor advice practice from the British Steel pension scandal. She represents many clients and is fighting to get them compensation. For those advisors who have done bad things, it is a question of culture, and I will often say, there is no one who is all good or all bad, she says. There is a lot to be said for purpose. For the British Steel IFAs, they do not believe they were doing a bad thing. There were these people, steel workers, who wanted to transfer out, and they construct a narrative that justifies their behaviour. These cases are separate from the more sociopathic scammers whose narratives are more connected to status. They want to be seen to be wealthy and powerful in front of some audience they perceive as important to them. But most are just people who have fallen into questionable behaviour gradually, and so advice firms need to be on the lookout for all sorts. They must invest in technology and culture not to fall victim to scammers. Most crucially, they must cultivate an internal and external awareness to stop the worst from befalling their clients.
That is it for today's episode. Thanks so much for dropping in. As ever, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on Podbean, we're on any good podcast player you choose to look. So do subscribe and give us a like if you enjoyed what you heard. I've been Justin Cash. Thanks so much again for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.